We're on the road here with Billy Hodges on the Getting Your Fun Lighting Podcast. He's in his car there. He doesn't. Obviously, he's not taking this as seriously as he should. Interested in the magic of lighting since the theater since the theater in high school. Billy found architectural engineering at Penn State, became passionate about lighting design, and embarked upon a career in architectural lighting. He spent the early part of his career in lighting design at firms in Philadelphia and LA. He taught lighting for interiors at UCLA. However, he struggled with the forces of commerce overwhelming his designs, so he went to the dark side to learn about the business of lighting firsthand. As a spec rep in Los Angeles and as a manufacturer's regional manager for the eastern half of North America, he learned the ropes of lighting commerce. Eventually, his wife tired of him flying away all the time while they had 3 and then 4 small kids, so he went to work for a local agency in Philadelphia. Then when he thought he knew enough to try it, and before he was too old to do it, he founded Digital Filaments, a lighting agency in Philadelphia whose mission is deliver light simply. Now, 10 years later, Digital Filaments is shutting down, I believe. Is that correct, Billy? We're just going to get to the ad here in a sec. He's shaking his head saying yes there behind the wheel of his car, just in case everyone knows what we're talking about. And he was part of the group that started the American Association for Independent Lighting Agencies, active on LinkedIn. William B. Hodges, look him up, lightingagents.org. Greg, we got a new sponsor now. It's always exciting to have a new sponsor on board. Go to ETISSL.com, Greg Eric.
I tell you, I love what they're doing because they're not doing, you know, a Me Too product on everything. They're taking their own little twist on it, including their night lighter. That's a hot product that I like. That's a recessed can or can light or a flush mount ceiling that actually has a nice amber ring around it when you flip the switch on and off that acts as a nightlight. So imagine you're in your office or bedroom or wherever and you have recessed cans. You hit it on, it's the color you want, and then you on off again. It's a nice little amber glow as a nightlight. Perfect accent lighting, many different options, and that's just the beginning of what they offer. That's just one little thing. Be ready for a lot more coming from ETI.
And we're going to get to know them a lot better here on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. Go to ETISSL.com. And, of course, we're going to talk about Ayla and Billy's lighting industry journey here. But before we do, if you're a distributor, you got light bulbs in a warehouse? You can't join Nail as a member if you don't have light bulbs in a warehouse. Like, I'm just going to make that clear to everybody listening. We get so many people that want to join. They just want to join Nail, but you have to have light bulbs in the warehouse and you have to sell them, okay? Like, you have to sell the light bulbs from a warehouse to end users. That's what we are at Nail, with the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. If you do that, you can qualify as a member for Nail. Go to nailt.org. Welcome back, Billy Hodges. Good to see you.
Hey, what's up, guys? Great to see you.
You know, I have to ask a question. Yeah. What is it like winding down a lighting agency and closing all the orders and the POs and just closing it off? How is that working for you, and is it what you expected?
Well, it's not something that I guess I ever planned for. So I feel like that's, wasn't in the original plan. But at some point, it became evident that this wasn't the path that I wanted to continue to follow. And with that in mind, I struggled for a long time because you're employing people, you have relationships, you've got manufacturers that you've, made a part of your family. And it's especially something that happens when you're in a smaller agency, when you're juggling lots and lots of lines. It's, you're forced maybe to make more aggressive decisions from a business point of view. So that's to wind down, there's a lot of bittersweet. It's exciting to have had a business and to do what I wanted to do with the business, to try and improve the Philadelphia market, to, be an entrepreneur, to represent in many ways the way our lines wanted. They're sort of, people found us because they didn't want the treatment that they got from the big agencies. They found us because they wanted the individual attention, because our reputation was good with great relationships. But we're also the smaller And there's a lot of forces in the market right now that are not the most conducive to the smaller guy in the market. That's with regionalization going on, with automation going on, with mergers and acquisitions, I guess, is the other big one, right? So one day you're representing a line, the next day they're part of, you know, the rep across town's line card because they were acquired, or because now, you know, the regionalization is happening and, you know, it makes more sense for them to be in a territory that stretches from Long Island to Delaware than it does to just be in the greater Philadelphia area. So, a number of factors changed in the marketplace, and instead of continuing to chase that train, I wanted to find a way to, you know, get on board the train near the front. So,
What year did you find Ayla? I know we had you on before talking all about that, but what year was that?
I think Ayla was 2021. We rolled out maybe December 2020, something like that.
So as a result
we're around,
of that,
2 full years, yeah.
2 years, yeah. So as a result of that, it opened your world probably quite a bit to the industry, I'm guessing.
Sure. Yeah, and you know, I also follow macroeconomics on a regular basis. I got a couple different podcasts that I stick with, and then I follow all the industry, you know, things as a result of just being a business owner, and then also, you know, doubly so because we have an organization that is upholding and promoting the idea of independent sales agencies.
The forces that you were talking about, mergers, acquisitions, these kinds of things, what are the macroeconomic forces that, and did any of those contribute to your desire to kind of make a move to a larger agency?
Well, I mean, I think you have a lot of, you know, a tremendous amount of technological advances that have gone on. You can see that AI is going somewhere. I'm not sure where it's going, but it's going somewhere, and it's pretty hard to be an investor in AI on any scale as the small agent. It's you know, there are some distinct advantages of scale when you're looking at new technologies and evaluating new technologies and trying to apply new technologies to the future. And I think that it's important from an independent agent's point of view to either have a real substantial niche where you're, you know, sort of the only one who's doing this thing to this level. However, if you're doing that and the market changes, then you've got all your eggs in one basket, right? So it's hard to be that, or you have to be investing in the future. And that's, you know, it's just a challenge from the solopreneur seat, you know, from my point of view.
Do you think there will be more and more consolidation of agencies as we go, or is there going to still be a need for the small independent?
I think my impression is for the small independents that you really need to be specialized, and you need to be specialized in a way that you and then you need to protect your specialization. You know, you need to serve that market so well that you can't be swallowed up or glossed over. That's really the thing. And I think we could have gone on that way and been a very small, very targeted agent. That's just not who I am. I like to think in the macro and to be involved in the larger picture. So that's where I've, that's ultimately where I drove that. I think there are definitely some agents in some markets that drive, a specific enough story that people are like, this is the only person I'd want to go to for this kind of a service or a product. And I want to work with them, or, you know, the solopreneur that can find just enough work for them and, you know, their tech to do the work kind of thing. I think it's becoming harder to be a generalist as a small agent, I guess, is sort of the big answer to that question.
Yeah, I could see that. Was it difficult right now if somebody wanted to start a lighting agency?
So I still think there are a lot of manufacturers trying to get the attention of individuals, sellers and designers in markets across the US. And so there are definitely windows of opportunity to engage with a line or multiple lines to do agency. But the risk that you run as an agent is any one of those lines could be, acquired, could, change sales strategies. And so a ground up agency is a haul no matter when you do it. But a ground up agency right now is I think a particular challenge because I think there's still a lot of consolidating and merging and territorial things to happen before we settle into what may become a new normal.
Do you have any idea how many agents there are in the country? US, sorry, Mike.
Well, so
I'd say Canada too.
it becomes, from a lighting standpoint, I think we were looking at a few different lists that range in the plus or minus 500 to 700 kind of range, but that may include branches and that may include electrical as well. So I haven't got that right off the top of my head, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's something that we struggle with too at Nailed, is trying to, how many lighting distributors are out there? Nobody knows. There's
Right,
not an
right.
easy way to find out. You have to go market by market and ask and compile lists, and very difficult. So I don't know if it was easier on the agent side. Doesn't sound like it. Still similar.
Yeah, I mean, we have a few lists and we did do some research. Jay's got more of that information at his fingertips. I don't know if it's, totally comprehensive, but yeah, we had a number that we were, we assumed was our market for ALA.
Is it
You th you go ahead, Greg.
go ahead.
I'm
Yeah,
going to
I was
change
gonna.
gears, so finish your thought
Okay.
process there.
Yeah, as an agent, is it getting harder to rep brands because are more and more products starting to seem similar or look too much alike? Like at least a lot of the stuff we deal with, it's very similar. They have a little different name on it. So as an agent, how do you handle that? And how do you
Well,
who do
I
you go
think
with?
there's still some consolidation to happen, and it's because of that. I mean, really, the market has to want the distinct or multiple competitors in a product segment for it to make long-term sense in the marketplace. So I think there's probably, as the price of money goes up, going to be manufacturers that are looking for different, ways to consolidate with others or focus their product line or, different business strategies to address what you're talking about, which is, simply there's so many products that kind of look like they might have come from, the similar neighborhood in another country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. We've been to China, Greg and I, and we did a whole bunch of factory tours in China. And I remember asking the factory manager of a Chinese factory, and they make one brand, and they make another retail brand, and another retail brand, and the bulbs are identical. And I asked her. I said, this company claims that this is higher quality than that, even though it's the same bulb. And I said, is there a difference between the three bulbs? And the interpreter asked the lady the question, then they both laughed. And then he came back and said, my manager says it's very difficult to make light bulbs bit different, very easy to make them the same. And so, this idea that there's a differentiation when you're not actually making, you're not in charge of the manufacturing is a bit of an industry lie, I'd say. But
Yeah.
in the
I mean, what
age
are
of
you going to
ex
do as a company to to support your warranty in that case and all of that, right? That's what may become the distinguishing factor.
Yeah. The age of cheap money is over, and we're starting
Right.
to feel that crunch all over the place. And rebates are officially over as of December 16th in Ontario for the first time in 25 years. There isn't going to be a rebate program that pays to the end user anywhere from 20 to 50% of the project cost. Like, that's a new normal. There is a new normal for you, buddy. You actually have to sell something without a rebate. So my belief is that simply because of the money's so expensive. Like, they can't, they look at the loan or the bond that they have to get in order to pay that rebate program, and it's at 7.25% instead of 1.25 or whatever. I also think this is going to affect the kind of people that bring in and hold stock. You know, the you know, you have to prepay for the stuff when it's in China, and then it comes over on a container. It has to go through Los Angeles or through the, you know, the Panama Canal or whatever, and up and in, and all that money's out there sitting, right?
Right.
I think that's going to put a different kind of pressure on manufacturers to perhaps produce things in America. What do you think about that, Billy?
Yeah, I mean, we've been seeing onshoring for years, and I think that that has been a good business hedge for large manufacturers for a long time to, you know, bring an operation, set up an operation in Mexico, set up an operation in the U.S., you know, and make the things that specifically can be made affordably or because they are BABA compliant in the U.S. and then make the rest of the things in Mexico, but still source things from China when you can. I think, you know, that's sort of been happening in boardrooms of big lighting companies for some time, but there are still a lot of independent manufacturing. You know, independent manufacturing in lighting is, you know, there's a lot of little companies, which is why there's so much opportunity for independent agents to be out there, is because it's not just four big conglomerates controlling the whole market. So those smaller companies are going to have, I think, a better opportunity going forward, because I think the money helps to level the playing field for the little companies that are in good financial position. Still a challenge, of course, you know, for money to be more expensive for anyone, but that's, I think it puts the established U.S. manufacturers in a better place when the costs you're talking about, the cost of transit, the costs of your money over that transit are going up so rapidly. So
going back to, you know, your decision and closing down your agency, did you know what you were going to do after that? When did you make the decision, do it, and then try to figure it out? Or tell me the order you went in.
Yeah. So, I mean, the end result is I ended up going back to Eliminations, which is the agency that I worked at, you know, when my kids were little and I had to find a place so I could work closer to home for my wife. But the reality of the situation was this was such a huge decision for me personally that I worked very hard to try and do it as with as much class as possible. I wanted to try and take care of our manufacturers. I mean, we're still operating a small crew at Digital Filaments to make sure that we can do all the customer service on orders that are in play. And quoting spares and that sort of thing, to, and then winding down the actual physical operation itself. And I wanted to make sure that I had, you know, space for my people to figure out where, what they were going to do next. And so, you know, putting together a plan that would allow them to continue to work, but also still look for their next. And then I did, you know, myself, I did the work of figuring out what I wanted out of my next, as opposed to what next I wanted. Does that make sense? Like what things that I wanted for my life going forward. And, you know, for instance, I wanted to be working in a place where there was more access to sort of big R&D and big research and big innovations, because that's been a big interest of mine. But when you're working to close the next order and you're the small agent, you're not spending a lot of time with the big company's innovation department. It just, you know, you have to stay focused on keeping the small business going. And so that was one example. There were things about lifestyle and things about, you know, just interaction. with any industry. And I was not limited to lighting in my mindset. Like, I say this to everybody, like, school bus driver was a legitimate option on the table.
Fire out of the car right now.
I don't think you need to wear your seatbelt anymore, by the way. I think you're parked. Hey, you got your seatbelt on there still.
No, I've been driving for miles while we've been talking. Anyway. So that I literally was opening myself to the universe. It just turns out that if anyone knows George Lingarkas, the founder of Illuminations, about 86 minutes after I put my announcement out into the ether, I got a call from George, and that's probably because he didn't see it for 74 minutes. So I got a call, and he's like, no, I think you ought to come this way, and maybe, you know, there's room for your people and some of the lines and everything as well. So that conversation lasted a little while, but basically it checked a lot of the boxes for what I wanted out of my next. And so it was a really serendipitous opportunity. And I think the chance to do the thinking about what I wanted out of my next made it easy to make that decision quickly. Just, so there you go. That's, but there's going to be lots of people who are like, oh yeah, you were planning on going to Illuminations the whole time. That's just not the case. So
set the record straight right there.
There you go.
How about Ayla? Is your role going to change now that you have this new position, or are you able to do more or less or yet?
So, I mean, you know, hopefully again, being in a larger agency, maybe that will provide more opportunity to do more with independent agents at a different scale. Right. I think sometimes folks looked at Ayla as, oh, it's, you know, the little agents getting together. And that's, you know, that's not true. If you look at our membership, it's not true. If you look at our board, it's not true. A lot of things. So, you know, maybe it has, we have more to offer from this position. For me, when I was just putting myself out to the universe, I honestly had no idea what I was going to do with Ayla, because I didn't know if I was going to be an agent or not. So, you know, the fact that I was staying in an agent role gave me the opportunity to continue with Ayla, and I'm excited to see what it can become under the new auspices here. So,
I would say that you shouldn't stop putting yourself out to the universe. I think that you should stay out there, brother. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even when you're through your new job. I think that, you know, sometimes we close ourselves off, we put blinders on, we don't realize that, you know, we're wasting a lot of time running a business as opposed to being an agent. Those are two different things. Like, you know, doing the payroll, watching the bank account, making sure the suppliers get paid, make sure everyone gets paid, you know, report to the accountant, sign the checks, all the stuff that has to happen as a business owner. That's all time taken away from customer time, which is probably what you're best at, right?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And the people time, like, I'm looking forward to working with a much bigger team and seeing how we can, you know, apply all of the human resources in different ways too. That's a great group of people here, and I'm excited for that. So
any 2024 plans for Ayla that you can share, or is it just getting after everything you can?
So in 2024, our roadmap is to, so we have what we call the transition board or an initial board. And the initial board in the bylaws is essentially set up to create the first elected board. And so that's the biggest plan we have going forward for next year. We continue to create more content. You know I need a little coaching from you guys on the podcast front, but that's okay. I'll book an appointment. And we've got a lot of things cooking. We had a great series that began with a marketing individual, Paradigm, and she ran sort of an initial intro to marketing for independent agents, and then we're going to have some successive episodes of that coming forth as well.
The channel. So we have this distribution channel in the lighting industry, and you know, with the dawning of LED, the channel kind of collapsed in on itself, and you had all different kinds of companies and sales selling to into the market in different ways that were new, and some would say exciting, some would say, you know, maybe a problem for end user customers down the road. I don't think the lighting industry has settled itself down yet, and I think that's where, you know, some of the issues are coming from on it, on the agency. You see agents that have so many lines. It's like, how do you represent all this stuff? You know, when I ask them.
Right.
And then you see agents that have warehouses in stock now. This is a new thing.
Sure. Yeah.
You know,
yep.
And there's all, there's a redefinition. Do we need to change the terms? Is there something we need to do differently to redefine the way this industry works, in your opinion?
I don't think so. I mean, I think if you're going to provide an additional service, you know, then you're an agent with a stocking warehouse, right? And sometimes the stocking warehouse is only for distributor customers. Sometimes that stocking warehouse is, some agents are selling right to contractors. And so it just depends on what their business model, their relationships are, and hopefully everybody's just being above board about what they're doing and why they're doing it and where they're doing it. I mean, I think that's the whole point of Ayla is about, you know, the professionalism around being an independent agent. And so that's what, I think there are lots of different ways, as you said, to model your business, to be the best for your set of clientele or your territory. But it, the days are gone of this is strictly your lane and this is strictly your lane, as a, you know, if you look at the whole marketplace. So, you know, but there's sometimes your conglomerate will say that you can or cannot do that thing in this territory because that's not how we're going to do business there. And so that's a decision that you make as a business owner. And that's part of the beauty of being an independent agent is you get to make those decisions. You're not an employee of the manufacturer directly. You're in a business relationship that's, you know, governed by a contract and, you know, by policies around that contract. So
just on that note, I think manufacturers change agents too often, Greg. I see that a lot. Like the agent, our new agent, and you just got to know the old guy, and now he's back in your office with a different line, and the agent from the other company is there with the same line. I think there. Yeah. I think if I was a, if somebody were to ask me from a manufacturer perspective, I would say make longer term relationships with your agent if you're going to have them. If you're going to have them, you don't have to have them.
100% agree.
Like if you don't, you have a call center then or something. But if you're going to have this agent, don't change it every year because that annoys people
correct.
A lot. You know?
Yeah, not the least of which the agents.
Yeah.
You know, because you go spend a whole bunch of blood, sweat, and tears on the, you know, the prospect of the future. And, you know, then the next sales manager gets hired into the role and they move across town to their friend. And that's really hard. But I think, you know, one of the, aside from channel, I do want to bring to your, you've long talked about, the maintainability of fixtures. And I think that's something that industry-wide we really, really are seeing, you know, the results of disposable fixtures right now. I drove past a prominent building in Philadelphia with a spec manufacturer on the outside of the building, and those lights are blinking, baby, all the way around the building. And nobody can go and maintain that. Somebody needs to buy a whole new system to light up that building. And that's... that's really a shame, you know, from a planet point of view, from a maintenance and efficiency point of view. It just, I hope that all the manufacturers out there get to a place where, you know, we can standardize on some things, and you know, maybe it's because there's so much revolution that's been going on in terms of the technology of LED itself that. You know, standards could never catch up, but maybe, you know, maybe Zaga is going to catch on or something that will allow us to do and have more maintainable products in the long run. So
I think it's
because one of the things I think about all the time.
I think it's because there's too many NPCs in the lighting business, non-player characters. So we have, so we have a lot of label creators and accreditation agencies and this kind of gatekeepers in our industry that don't sell light bulbs and don't buy light bulbs and don't make light bulbs or light fixtures or anything, and they're dictating terms to everybody. And this is a very serious problem. And people, often say you're too hard on this accreditation agency. I don't even say their name now. Everyone knows who I'm talking about anyway. But there's now there, you know, now you, I look at a fixture spec and the thing has got six different accreditation labels on it, you know, and none of them mean anything. I'll be honest with you. You have a, and not to pick on Dark Sky. I mean, you know, a formerly IDA. But like a Dark Sky product label, you know, that's got nothing to do with it. You could totally mount that fixture incorrectly and it means nothing. If it's, you know, there's all manner of different labels now on things that people are box checking and paperwork filing stuff. It has nothing to do with a good lighting design. And, you know, I think we have to find a way to advance the knowledge of experienced lighting people. And I don't know if, I don't care if they're agents or designers or distributors or what have you, but we have to get away from solving all our problems by creating charities that put labels on things. I don't think it helps. I'll be honest with you. I think it hurts. And it evaporates our research and development budgets because instead of making your own fixture, you're trying to make to their, like the thing is called design lights. Like they're literally designing the lights for everybody. Like that's their name,
right?
Like design lights. We design lights, and you make them. That's basically their position in the market. And you know, I'm sure there's good people there. I don't have any issue with the people, but the whole premise is wrong. We need to get them out of the industry. Oh, we lost Billy. Well, we're about to wrap up anyway. On the road with Billy Hodges. Hopefully he'll, we wish him happy trails, Greg, and he's the universe called, put himself out there and, he's moving forward. So good on Billy Hodges. And of course we want you to check out ETISSL.com, Greg Eric.
That's right. And we're going to talk a lot about their products as we go, but that night lighter is a nice looking thing.
Swanky.
It's swanky. It's in recessed cans, 3-inch, 4-inch, 6-inch, 8-inch. It's also in 4-foot long fixtures, like linear fixtures that you can have that on, surface mount fixtures, circular, everything. Nightlighter from ETI.
And Billy Hodges is back. Before we go, Billy, any final thoughts for the Get a Grip on Lighting listeners before we close it out?
No, I appreciate and I'm grateful that you guys continue to get the word out about all sorts of interesting issues. I think that you've done a great job surfacing lots and lots of legitimate lighting issues, despite wearing your bulb hats all the time. So great job on doing that. I'm excited for my new endeavor and for working with Illuminations going forward. I'm grateful for the 11 years we had run a Digital Filaments. I think we did a lot of good things. We did a lot of great thinking about how an independent agent should work, and then the opportunity to create AILA with Jay Andrews and the such has been a real, it's been a blessing as well, because now it's about thinking about what are the common issues that all of us agents face together that we could tackle together rather than always being crosstown rivals. So
yeah, and we need,
that's my thoughts.
We need AILA. We need Nailed. We need groups of people that are on the front lines of the lighting industry to come together, set priorities, and start to influence the way this industry is managed. It's needed more than ever now. And so if you're an agent and you're listening to this, go to lightingagents.org. Check them out. And of course, if you have light bulbs in a warehouse and you call yourself a distributor, because I think you can call yourself an agent too and have light bulbs in a warehouse in 2023. But if you're a distributor, you got light bulbs in a warehouse, you should think about joining Nailed, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Go to nailed.org. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.